Good morning and welcome. So glad that you're here. Whether you're here in person or out on the patio or online, we're just so glad that you are joining us today and know that you are going to be so blessed.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much for coming today. You are totally going to be blessed. And if this is your first time at New Life, we would like to invite you to the Connection Central. There is a place out on the patio. And then there is a tent right outside this door, and then there's a counter out at this corner outside that, or just inside that door. And if you're a newcomer today, we would like to give you a free gift. So please feel free to join one of those booths and introduce yourself and receive a free gift.
Yeah, and we are Marty and Stacy Wadlow, and we are usually out on the patio at that connection table, and we love for people to come and introduce themselves. So please do that. And let's go ahead and rise right now. One of the blessings is to be able to greet the people next to us. So why don't you take a second as we get ready for worship and maybe just say hi and...
Get started, all right.
Get started.
It's good to be together. Excited to worship with y'all.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over, my story's just begun. Failure won't define me, cause that's what my father does. Failure won't define me, cause that's what my father does. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, cause it ain't welcome anymore.
Arrival's not the end game.
Arrival's not the end game. The journey's really hard. You never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. As failures never final when the Father's in the mood. If failures never final when the Father's in the room. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, cause it ain't welcome anymore.
Find faith.
Blood is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Jericho walls are quaking, the strongholds now shaking. Blood is breaking through when the Father's in the room. So blood is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Ooh, lay your
Continue to worship Jesus.
his face upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
And the Lord bless.
The Lord bless you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
morning. We come as a people who honestly cannot hear that enough, that you are for us. We all come with different circumstances and situations that we're facing, and so often it can feel like the whole world is against us and maybe you've turned your back too, but we come together as your people to remind ourselves that you're faithful, to point to situations where you've shown up. You've hemmed us in before and behind, and you've called us your own, and you've set our feet upon a rock. And so, Jesus, we again remind one another that you are good and faithful, and that you are for us. And if you are for us, who can be against us? And so we come to the throne of grace with confidence this morning and ask that you would just pour your Spirit out on this place as we continue worshiping you through the opening of your word and giving. May we be a people just marked by your grace and your faithfulness. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray it, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can have a seat.
Wow, what a powerful line, that we may feel his presence as he goes before us, behind us, next to us, around us. And that is our prayer for the rest of the service.
And we would like to continue in our worship by inviting the ushers up, please, to receive your tithes and offerings. And there are a few different ways that you can give. And looking at the screen behind me or off to the side, you can see that you can give through check, obviously, in person here. And then we also have online opportunities through newlifepismo.com/give. And if you have the New Life app, you can give there as well.
We have been so blessed by the generosity of this church, and it happens in so many different ways. And so we're both teachers, but we just got done with the main event, the VBS. And it was just so amazing to see the generosity of people's time, that the amount of people who gave up working for that week to come and to bless these kids. So that was amazing, as well as just the scholarships that were offered to kids. So your generosity really does affect the whole community around us.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And then one of the highlights for me was to see Pastor Dave Vasquez. His character for that week was a bridge builder. And so we got to work with the kids building bridges, you know, popsicle sticks and such.
So we gave them popsicle sticks and tape and cards, and that was our job, was to help them build bridges. So
and then Pastor Dave, and Pastor Dave's, his connection was building bridges with relationships. So men, one of those ways to build relationships or create new relationships is to join the men's gathering this coming next Sunday, a week from today, August 15th. We'll start at 5 o'clock, and it'll be down in the Live Center. You will get to throw axes, if anybody's paying attention, and you will have lots of good food and especially fellowship. So put that on your calendars, man.
So talking about the building bridges, one of the other ways, so when we're out at Connection Table, a lot of times people are asking us, well, how do we find out what's going on? How do we get more involved? And so everybody has that opportunity coming up. So our next event is the All In Rally. And it is August, I'm looking at the date.
22nd.
The 22nd at 6 p.m. And it is a great time for us as a congregation just to come together and to see what's the vision for next year. What's a way that I can get plugged in? What's a way that I can serve? So whether you're new to New Life, this would be a great event, or you've been coming your whole life, this is an event for us just to all come together, all in together.
And there will be more information if you're interested. Just join Connection Central at any one of the places. Please show up and see what you can do. So would you please go ahead and stand as we read the word from John 20, 30, 31. We'll read it together. If you could follow along on the screen behind me. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name.
Go ahead and be seated and just prepare your hearts as we welcome Pastor Gina up.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. And so I'm excited to be here with you as we continue in our series. As we read those scriptures there, we have been this summer in the Gospel of John. And this morning, we're going to continue in that series. And if you want to, you can go ahead and pull out your phones or your iPad or your Bibles. We're going to start and we're going to pick up in John chapter 16. And so the Gospel of John is found in the New Testament. It's the second half of the Bible, and it's the fourth book in. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we'll be in 16, 17, and 18 this morning. And while you're looking those up or while you're pulling that up, I want to kind of bring to your attention or address something that's been on my heart for the last couple weeks. And that is that, and I'm going to get emotional, even though I tried not to. And that is I want to say thank you. Marty and those guys were talking about generosity. And lately, it has been something that's been greatly on my mind. And that is that I want to make sure that you all know that your generosity and your giving of your finances, of your time, the amount of people who tell us that they're praying for us, that encourage us, has blown my mind lately. So like they were talking about VBS, and we had Vacation Bible School, and so I knew I was going to be up here this week, and I knew that this was an opportunity, that this is what's welling up in me, is to be able to thank you guys for all that you do. We had the kids at Vacation Bible School, 400 children. We asked them to be part of a missions project, which they do every year. And this year it was, hey, how about donating lunchboxes to kids in need? We want 300 of them for Lucy Amar, and we want 125 for the pantry. And in addition to that, we asked them if they would bring food to fill in the lunchboxes. And our goal as a team was we had this big lofty goal that all 425 children would get a week's worth of lunches in addition to a lunchbox. We dreamed super big over in the community center. Sometimes I think we scare ourselves. But VBS, they pulled through. They gave us 202 lunchboxes and over 900 pounds of food. It was incredible. Yeah. And the thing that's amazing is that these 400 kids do not all attend New Life. Some of them came from other churches because their church wasn't having VBS. Some of them are just from the community, and they gave back. But we still came up short. And so what happened was, this is a small sampling, I love lunchboxes. And you see the Mario lunchbox. My team will tell you, I carry a lunchbox every day. It looks a lot like that one. And I love lunchboxes. I don't know if it's something from my childhood that I just carry, you know, with me, but I will come trucking in with my lunchbox every day. And I love it. But we missed our goal as far as the 425 went. But this is where you guys come in. This is where I'm saying thank you. But because of you, we actually met our goal. We're going to actually feed and give every child, 425 children, lunchboxes and a week's worth of food. And I just appreciate you guys. And sometimes I know that you give and you're wondering what's going on with it, or maybe you forget that you give because it comes out automatically or whatever it is. And I think we all need to know that you are the hands and feet of Jesus, that you can see that you are loved by Jesus and you're doing your best to be shaped by him and do what he did. And that is to love and to spread the love of Jesus. So I just wanted to take that opportunity to love on you guys and to let you know. So as we start in this morning, we're going to start in chapter 16, but to focus on the Lord, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to even read your word, to come together, Lord, to have a safe place where we can come and know you, where we can worship you, we can focus on you, Lord. We ask that you would give us your eyes, your heart. May we hear what you have for us this morning. Remove me, Lord, and speak through me that we hear your word the way it's meant to be heard, that we hear your heart and that we know more and more who you are. And so we give you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in chapter 16, what we're doing is we're picking up where Pastor David left off last week. And that is that the disciples and Jesus have been in the upper room. They've done a few things together. They've been in this room and they have had a meal together. Jesus washed his feet. They started off with 12 disciples. Now they have 11 disciples because Judas is going to betray Jesus. He's already left by the time we get into chapter 16. He's left the room. to go and find those who will arrest Jesus that you'll see in chapter 18. And they've had a kind of a difficult time for the disciples. Because what they've heard is that the time has come that Jesus is going to leave. He's no longer going to be with them. The hour is now. And he's telling them that they're going to go away. And just think about it. These are young men. Young men who are probably in their teens and their 20s, and they're hearing this man who they love and adore, who has been with them for a few years now, and he's saying, I'm leaving. I must go. And they have all of this grief inside of them because they don't want him to go anywhere without him, without them. And so he tells them, in the very beginning of chapter 16, he kind of lays out this moment for them, and he says, you need to know this. He basically says to them that the religious leaders and the rulers, they're going to kick you out of the synagogues. They're going to actually kill you in the name of God. Just take it in for a moment as you're a young person, or even all of us, whatever age we are. And the Lord that you've been following, you know he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And he says, I'm no longer going to be with you. That's one impactful emotional moment in which you'll do anything to stay with him. But then he tells you that all of these rulers, they're going to basically tell you, you can't come back into the synagogues, which is devastating for a Jewish person. Because in the synagogues, this is where they go to rub shoulders with one another, to dive into wisdom, see wisdom pass from generation to generation where they talk and they have these deep discussions about scripture. You're meant to do it together, to gather. And what they would tell them is that you wouldn't be able to. You're excommunicated. You would have to go it alone and you wouldn't be allowed in. It would be devastating to know that that can happen to you. But then add on top of that, he's just straight out with it. They will kill you, and they will kill you because they believe they are doing in the name of God, because they follow God. And then he goes on to say, but the truth is they don't know him. They don't know the Father. But what's happening is that these rulers and these religious leaders, they live in this box, a box that I think we all know people who are like this, where they know who is in and who is out. Where they've got the corner market on who God is and you can't tell them any different. And so they're going to look at these disciples. They're going to look at anyone who calls Jesus Lord and say that you're a heretic. That you literally are guilty of heresy, and so we have the right to take your life. Because they're the ones who know God. And Jesus makes clear that they don't. And it's interesting, because I kind of was processing this whole moment where they hear such, I don't know, impactful, like devastating news. And I think about myself as a young person and being able to take all that in. I don't know that I'd be able to take all that in. And it's funny because I talked to a young person who asked me about what I was going to preach this weekend. They knew I was going to give the message and they're like, what is it about? And I start to rattle off, you know, a little bit about 16 and a little bit about 17. And they're like, no. I don't care about that part. Like, why should I even listen to you? I was like, oh. But the question was, why should I care? Why listen to anything you have to say? Why do I care about what you have to say? And it twisted everything that I had studied and every thought that I had. I mean, I was bored with my own sermon at that moment. But this young person, who is probably the same age as some of these disciples, looking at me and saying to me, why would I come and why would I care? And I'm here to tell you that as we dive into this and as Jesus is talking to these disciples and as they are devastated by the news, we need to care because as believers, we should be that devastated that we would ever be apart from our Savior. That we should be so in love with him and want to be so close to him and never want him to leave us. And I want that for every single person that I know and in this world. I want everyone to call him Lord. See, I think it's an important question for all of us to think about as we go through this message. I don't want you to just to learn scriptures and say, hey, I checked that off today. But I want us to hear what God has for us. Why is this important for us to know that he's going to tell them that they're going to get killed? Why is it important for them to get, for him to give them this warning? Why now? Because the time is now. Because Jesus has come to do what he said he was going to do. And we continue reading on, and he tells them that the time is now, and that I'm giving you this warning, and that I won't be with you. And I didn't tell you earlier because I was with you. And I was going to be with you just a little while longer. And I think it's important that we know that Jesus loved them so much that he knew the perfect time in which to tell them what was to happen. He didn't bombard them with everything all at one time. He knew they weren't ready, but he knew they were ready now. And not only that, he knows he won't be with them anymore. So if you've been reading through the Gospel of John, what you've noticed is that every time they're confronted and something happens and the rulers come and they attack him and they question him, Jesus is physically there to protect them. Physically there to always protect them. But now he's going to leave. And he won't be physically in their presence anymore. But I tell you this, what we need to know is Jesus never abandons us, and never leaves us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And what he ends up telling them is incredible. Because if you look in chapter 16, verse 7, he says this about him leaving. He's talking to the disciples, and he says, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged." Jesus isn't abandoning them. He was physically there with them. He was able to help them out. He was able to protect them. But what's going to happen now is he's going to leave, and he's going to go back to the Father. He is going to be crucified. He is going to lay down and give up his life for these guys and for the rest of the world and all creation. But he's not abandoning us, and he never will. He sends an advocate. And what that word advocate means is the Holy Spirit. He's going to go, but the Holy Spirit's going to come. And that advocate word, it means that someone who will speak on your behalf, who will write on your behalf. And so when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, it is Jesus speaking to us. It is the Father speaking to us. It is, they are three in one. But here's the deal. This is how we live our lives, according to the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't become believers and then do whatever we want. We don't become believers and then white knuckle it and become followers of him and do it in our own strength. We do it in the strength and the power of God through the Holy Spirit. And he's going to send the advocate to them, someone who can be with them every moment of every day. Church, do we know that you have the Holy Spirit, that when you accept Jesus, the Spirit enters your life and it starts to change and transform who we are? And the more we surrender and the more that we know him and the more that we say, "God, make me like you," the more and more the Spirit starts to change us. We end up with eyes like God, where we see people differently, and hearts where we see people differently and we feel differently. The Holy Spirit comes. So he has to go. But there's also another important part about this in this section. And that is that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of its sin, of its unbelief. The Holy Spirit judges. And I think this is important for us to know, because I think many of us think that that's our job. Think about it. I think a lot of us have taken on and gotten our antennas twisted towards now we are judge and jury. We are judging those in our lives of who's in and who's out. That we are determining who is going to be able to be a son or daughter of the Most High God. That we are convicting people. That is not our job. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes and judges the world. And so if you've gotten your antennas kind of twisted, where you've gotten into a place of judgment, the time is now to ask yourself, how do I become and get those straightened out? Because what we're called to do is to spread the good news, to declare that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that he came and he died and he paid the penalty for our sins. But then he rose again and defeated death. Jesus is alive and well. And we have testimonies and stories and lives that can testify to him. And that is our responsibility. Let's not get in the way and take over a task that is not ours. We are not to judge one another. If anything, let's love one another. I'm not saying to be walked all over or anything like that. I'm saying we love one another in their weirdness and all their strangeness because God's got this. Because we are testifying to him. Let the Spirit do his job and let's do ours. Let him flow through us. Let him be the one to convict the world. He says in John 16:33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. See, how I first read this through, I thought, man, these guys are just getting pummeled. You're leaving them. You've already told Peter he's going to totally fail. He's going to deny you three times, which I can only see Peter's head like coming off his body because he's like, I'm not going to deny you. I am faithful. I'm going to die with you. I'll follow you wherever you go. One disciple's left. They're like, what in the world? I just think there's probably a lot going on. And in our world today, when I see people and they come into my office, they're anxiety ridden. They're so concerned about all the information that they're taking in. But that's not Jesus' goal. His goal here is to bring peace and to have peace in him. He's got this. Yep, there's going to be a lot going on. There's going to be trials. They're going to tell you that you're kicked out. They're going to try and kill you, and they will kill you. You're going to have a lot of grief, and you're going to see a lot of things. But take heart. I've already overcome the world. He's got this. If you came here today and you're asking yourself why you're here, like the young person who asked me, what's the whole point? Why do I need to listen? I need you to hear me today. You're here for a reason. It's not by accident. It's not for lunch or breakfast. It is here because Jesus wants you to know that he's already overcome everything you're going through. He didn't say you won't go through it. He didn't say it would be easy. I think Pastor David last week made it pretty clear. You don't sign up to follow Jesus and have like a rosy life. It's hard because we are going up against a world who wants to tell you you are wrong. We're going up against a world who actually doesn't want to feed the poor and can care less if people have lunch boxes and can care less about a certain group of people. It's going to be hard, but we have to constantly remind ourselves that he is Lord. And he has overcome the world. Amen? Amen? In chapter 17, as we move there, as he tells them they want to have peace, Jesus does something that's absolutely beautiful. Something that I want us to really soak in as the church. And that is that all of a sudden, after he's told them all of this, he knows how they feel. He knows that they're going to actually scatter. They're going to mess up. They're going to flee. Peter's going to deny him. But he loves them so much. And what he does is he turns his eyes up to the Father and he begins to pray. It's what's known as the high priestly prayer. And he begins to pray for himself, for the disciples, and for us. For all believers, for everyone who will hear the word and believe that Jesus is Lord. And don't forget, they're still sitting around that table. They're still in that room. They're listening to what he has to say. They get to hear the heart of Jesus. See, you hear tough stuff. And the thing we need to do is go to the Father. But here's the thing. I think a lot of times a lot of us pray by ourselves, where no one hears what we have to say. I ask marriages on a regular basis, when was the last time you prayed together? You'd be amazed at how many of them say they haven't done it. They won't do it. How many people tell me, like, in a group, I'm not praying in a group. Like, I don't do that. That's someone else's job. But what happens when we pray out our mouths? Where the people that we're struggling or we're wrestling with hear us? What happens when you and your spouse have a hard time and you realize we're dealing with some tough news, so we're going to turn our eyes to the Father? And you each pray and you pour out your heart. It's connecting. If you ask me, prayer is one of the most intimate things you can do. And so we have this intimate moment with Jesus where he wears his heart on his sleeve and he reveals how he feels. And he starts off by praying very little about himself. One writer said maybe 1/5 of this prayer is about him. And honestly, it's about his Father, because he says, I want you to be glorified through me. He wants the praise and the notoriety and everything to be focused on God. And he comes to this place and he says to his Father, he knows that his work here is done. Why he came and what he was sent for is here. And how does he know? Because he can point to those guys. He can point to those 11 disciples and say, these guys believe. They know that I am the Messiah, the Son of God. They have eternal life. And how do they have eternal life? No one knows the Father except through Jesus. They know Jesus, so they know the Father. He has fulfilled why he came. He knows that he's going to lay down his life. But then the next part that he prays has to do with his disciples. Those he loves. He's spent years with ministering and protecting and loving. And you know what I thought of? Watching them grow. Watching them get it. Isn't it amazing when we see someone put it together? Where they actually take a step in their faith and you see them actually rely on God more than they rely on people. It's incredible to watch people grow, and he got to see this in them. And so he lifts them up. So in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 13, he's praying to the Father and he's talking about the disciples and he says this, "Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth." He loves them dearly. He doesn't want them taken out of the world. He doesn't want them to leave the world. He wants them to be empowered. He's going to send the Holy Spirit because this was God's plan all along. That Jesus would come. That he would be the ultimate sacrifice, the only sacrifice needed for all human beings. He would come and he'd have these disciples, and the Father gave him these men, these young men. And they now believe, and the whole plan all along was that the church would send the message of the gospel, of the good news. The plan all along was through people, we would all know that Jesus is Lord. My first thought was, I wonder if you're still happy about your plan. Like, we're not always doing the greatest job. You chose us. Of course he's happy about his plan. These guys did an incredible job because guess what? We believe in Jesus. It has rippled out. But what he wants is for the Father to protect them, because they're no longer of this world. You've heard Pastor David say it. You've heard us say it from up here. That we do not serve the kingdoms of this world. We are not a part of this world. If you call Jesus Lord, then we serve God's kingdom. We follow his will for our lives. We desire to please him and to fulfill what he wants and to reach every single person with his love and with his truth. But the world is going to push back. The world's gonna kill them. The world's gonna tell you you're crazy. The world's gonna tell you that you are like just judging us. You don't have the corner market. And the thing is he doesn't want them just to know that there is a God. Just to be aware that there's a creator. He wants them to have a relationship so deep that they know the Father like they know Jesus. That's what he wants for us. We belong to the kingdom of God. And maybe some of you have never heard that before. Maybe you've never realized that by accepting Jesus and calling him Savior, that you no longer are focused on what the world tells you is right and wrong. You're no longer focused on how the world judges you. You're focused on your identity in him. The gifts that he has given you. You seek his will. You ask and surrender on a regular basis. We have eyes to see where we can spread the hope and the truth of Jesus. And so he's praying for them. He knows that they need to be in the world. He knows that they are the ones that are going to continue doing what he's doing. And he's giving himself as a holy sacrifice for every single person, every nation, every tongue. Every single person is to know about Jesus. He died for us all. And the world's going to try and get us to turn on ourselves. Going to get you to try to question, do you really believe that? I mean, is it really that important that Jesus be your Lord and Savior? What's the point in hearing what you have to say? See, I think that what he's going to say next is actually something that all of us believers really, really, really need to know. And I think that we can totally relate to why some people don't follow and why they don't believe. Because one of the things that Jesus prays beginning in verse 22 is this. He says, and he's talking about all believers. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. May we be in such perfect unity that we are so connected to Jesus, that we are so connected to the Father, that we know him as well as he knows us. But you know, this unity part caught my attention because the world has actually done a pretty good job of taking us and turning us against one another. I am amazed at how many of us and how many people and how many situations I navigate day to day between believers who literally are against one another. What are we doing? I know that's hard to hear, but you know, we are a forgiven people. It's not just believing, but we are literally saying when we believe Jesus is Lord, and when we ask ourselves why we need to hear this message, it is because we are forgiven. So we learn to forgive one another. We are to be unified as the Father and the Son are unified as one. Church, we have to ask ourselves, are we working towards being one body with one message, with one hope, and with one love? Or are we getting off track? And if we are, that's okay. Let's bring it back. We are supposed to be unified. He knows that this is going to be hard. There's going to be trials and sorrows. That the kingdoms are going to fight against us. But we have to stay together. We have to love one another. There should be a transformation of who we are. When the Holy Spirit enters our lives, and I know I already said it, but I want to drive it home. We are not just saved. We are a people who are transformed. We can actually testify to who we used to be and who we are now because we have a relationship with Jesus, because we receive and accept the forgiveness that he's offered us, because we have received and experienced his love that it overflows and fills our lives, and we just want everyone else to experience that. It's important to hear his message and his prayer. Because he'll never leave us. He'll never stop working in us. And he has a plan for each and every one of us. And I think the thing that is important about when we go into the next chapter is we're going to highlight what happened with Peter. Because see, when that young person asked me, why do I need to hear this? Who cares, basically? They weren't saying it mean. They were literally thinking about all of their friends who literally do not like the church, who don't want to be a part of it. They don't understand. You all don't seem to like each other, so why are we doing it? We have to model what we love, and we're not going to do it perfectly. When we get into chapter 18, what happens is they do all of this. Jesus prays for them. They have these tough situations. He lifts them up and all believers to the Father, and he ends in prayer. And then they all end up in the garden where Judas is waiting, the disciple who left, where Judas is waiting. He knew they were going to go there. He's got soldiers, and they're going to arrest him. And in the midst of arresting him, Peter, who is just probably so riled up because Jesus said he would deny him, he's the one who's being called out. I'm sure his head is just blowing with the idea that he would ever abandon Jesus. He cuts off a soldier's ear in the midst of them trying to arrest him. And I'm sure Jesus is like, we just spent all this time together. I just told you, and now you cut off this guy's ear. Like, he can fix it. It's fine. But there's that. And then you go from him doing that to being arrested. And what happens is the disciples scatter. Who knows where they all went? But they flee when Jesus is arrested. They're scared. They don't stay with him. They don't defend him. They run. And Peter and one other disciple actually follows him close as they can with trying not to get caught. And in John, when you read the story of Peter and how he denies Jesus, it's not very detailed. He just puts in the facts that he did deny him 3 times, and that's it. But when you read it in Luke 22, there's more detail to Peter's story. And in 22, verses 61 and 62, it reads like this about Peter. He denies him for the 3rd time. And it says this: at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny 3 times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. See, I like the way Luke writes this. Because as soon as he denies, the rooster crows. And it does say that in John. But in Luke, you get this moment where he denies it and they look up and they meet eyes. Now, Peter runs away bitterly. He's frustrated. He's probably super sad, disappointed, scared. Fill in the blank. He's feeling all of it. But I think when he met Jesus' eyes, what Jesus had was, I still love you. I just prayed for you. I'm not taking it back. I still mean it. I still want the best for you. I still want you to be protected. I still want you to be safe. It's okay. I knew you were going to do it. See, here's the deal. God knows us. We think we know us. We think we can muster up some of the best energy and make some of the best decisions, and we're going to always make the right decision. And in our own will, we can't do it. And God knows that we're not God. Jesus is both fully man and fully God. And here are these men, people like Peter. They've run away or they've denied him, and they're the ones entrusted to spread the good news. They're the ones who are supposed to ripple out this message that Jesus is the Messiah, and he came and he died and he rose again for you, for all of us. See, Jesus' eyes, I'm convinced, were ones of, I love you. It's going to be okay. But just know, I know you. And with me, we'll figure this out. But see, I think it's important for us to hear this right now. I just went through 2 weeks. I told you it's been a great time, but I've also been through 2 weeks of people who, I kid you not, I think they all think that Jesus left them, that he doesn't have any time for them anymore. They've messed up too many times, and that he's just done with them. Why try? And my heart breaks because we are believing a lie. It is a lie to believe that Jesus will ever abandon you, forsaken you, or give up on you. Never. That Holy Spirit isn't like it gets bored and leaves. It lives in you. He's transforming you. Why do you feel so bad when you sin? Because you know Jesus. If you didn't know him, you wouldn't care. You're in my office, some of you. You're talking to Pastor David. You're talking amongst one another, and you're feeling bad because you don't want to disappoint your Lord. And that's okay. But what do we do with it? Well, I think we do exactly what Jesus modeled. We turn our eyes to the Father. We gather with some of those that we trust and that we love and that know us, and they love us even through our weirdnesses, and they pray with us. If you came here today, you are not a lost cause. I don't care how many times you tell yourself you are. You are not too far gone. You are not too far in a ditch somewhere. You are not too dark. You are not too whatever. Because whatever you fill in the blank with, Jesus has already overcome the world. He's already overcome it. His love didn't stop short of you. He gave his life for all of us. And as he's arrested, and as he faces Pilate, and as we see these two kingdoms, the kingdom of the world, which is Pilate, and the kingdom of God, which is Jesus, come together, we see what it looks like to be in the battle and to stand for Jesus, and what it looks like for these two kingdoms to come together and clash, and they just don't mix. And we know that the world can be dark and it can be evil, because chapter 18 ends literally with them not wanting to have Jesus be free. They get to have one person set free over Passover. Pilate gives them a chance. The guy hasn't done anything wrong. You want to let him go? I let you have one person every year. And they're like, no, we'll take Barabbas. A known criminal, a known revolutionary. They are going to choose evil over someone who's never done anything wrong. He's never sinned. These are three chapters that were super hard for me to figure out how to deliver to you, until a simple question that rocked my world about why should we care? Who cares? Man, when we were worshiping this morning, that's all I could think of was, why do we care? Why do we come here? And see, these people are young people. These disciples are young people. There are young people here. There are young people that are going to be the church. And the thing is us older people, it's our responsibility to be pouring into them, to be walking out what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And my challenge to you this morning as we close is that we take this opportunity to really look at where we're at, who we are. Do you find yourself divided against another believer? Are you struggling with someone who also believes? Let us pray for you. After this service, you can come up here. There'll be people to pray for you. You can go out to Connection Central where I'll be. We'll pray for you. But let's do it together. Like Jesus modeled, let's pray and put our hearts out there. Find someone you trust. There's nothing special about the people up here. I mean, you guys are awesome, but no one's special. There's nothing special about me other than we all believe. And that we want to turn our eyes to him, and we will do that with you. Maybe you came here today and you're like, I just didn't expect that this would be for me. It is for you. If you want to know more about accepting Christ, if you want to know what it means to be loved by Jesus, then talk to one of us. Talk to someone you came with. Come find me. Do not leave without doing so. And if you're asking yourself if you're actually being shaped by him, if you're wondering if the Holy Spirit, you're actually allowing the Holy Spirit, or are you just white-knuckling it yourself, then maybe this is a good time to pray, to take inventory, to sit in your seats. You don't have to go up and get coffee right away. It'll still be there. Maybe you sit and you say to God, I surrender all. I surrender myself. I give to you, fill in the blank. Because the Holy Spirit is here now to change our lives. Do you realize you can be someone you probably never even imagined? But he knows you. He knows what you've done. He knows where you're struggling. And man, his eyes are upon you. And what he is saying is that he loves you. Absolutely loves you. It's okay. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you open our eyes and our hearts, that you actually spend each and every moment concerned with us, speaking to us, moving amongst us, Lord, in order to help us be the people that you've called us to be. And so, Father, we come to you now. We ask, Lord, that you would shape us. We surrender who we are to you and ask, Lord, that you would make us the church that you've called us to be. May we be the disciples, that the modern day disciples who are rippling out your word and testifying that you are the Son of God, the Messiah, that you died for us, that you chose to lay down your life for us because you loved us that much. May we all know you, Father, because we know Jesus. And may we continue to love one another, to seek you, to sit with you, and to be the people that you've entrusted us to be, sons and daughters of the Most High God. We give you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good morning.